It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. In our marine weather forecast, high pressure is back with us again, and that should warm things up a bit. A front will increase south winds this evening and during the night under a coastal jet. Now, a coastal jet is a meteorological term for when the winds speak of forces in the atmosphere and weather systems of different pressures. It causes the winds to speed up right near the coast. So that's what will be happening. We'll actually have our most intense winds right off the coast when the winds may be less intense out in the ocean. Southwest to west gales return on Friday night with seas possibly building up to 20 feet. So we might see restrictions on the Columbia River Bar this weekend regarding when and whether ships can enter and leave the river. We have a gale warning in effect from this afternoon through Saturday morning. Today we have in our forecast southeast winds 10 to 15 knots gusting to 20, becoming south 15 to 20 knots gusting to 35 in the afternoon. Combined seas 7 feet with a dominant period of 11 seconds and a chance of rain in the afternoon. And today we're going to be talking about something ordinary and extraordinary that happens every day here on the river, and that is the turning of the tide. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have one inbounder, we have 7 outbounders, and we have 8 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. So let's take a look at today's ship schedule. We have one vessel inbound, the Globe Electra, arriving from China, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She will be in Astoria's anchorage by about 6:30 p.m., and her cargo eventually will be corn, soy, or wheat that she'll pick up in Kalama when she heads upriver. And our outbounders, we have the Sandy Bay heading out of Portland, carrying wheat. She left at about 2 a.m., and that means that she probably passed Astoria at about 8 a.m. this morning, outbound into the ocean. The BTG Apo is leaving Kalama, also left early, with wheat on board at about 4 a.m., probably passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. The Clipper Spey, leaving Vancouver with wheat on board, is on the schedule to depart from Vancouver at about 10 a.m. That would put her in Astoria by about 4 p.m. The Iris Leader is leaving Vancouver. Subaru's on board, so she's one of those high-sided car carriers. She'll be leaving at about 2 p.m. You might see her running lights going by Astoria at about 8 p.m. The Maya is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat there, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 p.m. The GNS Concord 3 is leaving Longview carrying wheat, leaving around 10:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 a.m. on Friday. And the Magic Rainbow is leaving Portland carrying wheat, leaving around midnight, passing Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. on Friday. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Yanis NG, headed for Longview to pick up wheat, leaving around 3 p.m., in Longview by about 6:30 p.m. The Perseus is headed for Kalama from the anchorage. Corn, soy, or wheat is her cargo there. She'll be leaving at about 5 p.m., probably being Kalama by about 10 p.m. And we have some vessels awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage, the Vita Unity, the UBC Tampa, the Hercules Ocean, the Oshima Trader, the Admiral Jimmu, and the Pan Unity. Well, today I would like to talk with you about something both ordinary and extraordinary that happens every day here, something we might notice but probably usually don't. And it's something that's quite exceptional in terms of what it represents in the river environment and on the planet. I'm talking about the changing of the tide. I was out walking the other day and I noticed it because of something odd-looking that happens at the turn of the tide in the river off Astoria. So first of all, the tide is a cycle. High tide, low tide, that is ongoing, day and night, week after week, month after month, and on and on. It's part of the fabric of our lives here on the river. What I saw that reminded me of this ongoing cycle was this. I saw a number of ships in the anchorage, vessels which usually are all pointing in the same direction with the flow of the water, but instead they were all pointing in different directions, sort of cattywampus, like the ships were all disorganized out there. And they kind of were. What I was seeing was the period between tidal cycles called slack water. It's a time when the flow of water is interrupted and is changing direction in the river. And so the strong, uniform flow of water slows, stops, and turns around. So the ships are temporarily kind of floating every which way until the flow in the opposite direction takes hold again. This happens every day, as a matter of fact, twice a day usually. But what it represents is really quite extraordinary, and I like to talk about it now and again because it illustrates how everything truly is connected. The reason why there is high tide and low tide and slack water is because of the force of the moon and the sun acting on the earth. The moon and sun exert gravitational pull on the earth, and as the earth rotates through that pull, it's strong enough to actually pull the waters of the earth upwards towards the sky, enough to make high tide, sometimes a dozen feet higher than low tide here, and much more in some places. That's a lot of water moving because of a planet and a star exerting their gravity on us from way far away. So every day, whether we realize it or not, those celestial bodies exert tremendous forces on us here on planet Earth. So let's take a look at what is happening with this in practical terms on the river. The power of the moon and sun is impressive. Let's look at what happens at the bottom or end of an ebb tide on the river. That's a falling tide. The tide goes out and falls to the lowest part of its ebb. This also coincides with the river's natural downstream flow, which originates in Canada. That's a lot of water flowing toward the mouth of the river. In fact, to put a number on it, the average flow of the Columbia River at its mouth is 265,000 cubic feet per second. That's a lot of water moving very fast. You can see it on the ebb, pulling the buoys sideways and sometimes even underwater. But at the bottom of that ebb, at the bottom of the cycle, the Earth is beginning to rotate through the pole of the moon and sometimes the sun at the same time. The incredible effect of this, the gravitational pull of these two celestial objects, many millions of miles away from us, is so strong that it is strong enough to overcome the flow of 265,000 cubic feet per second and cause this massive river, the largest North American river, to flow into the Pacific Ocean, to flow in the opposite direction within about an hour and a half. So the entire river's massive flow down here in the lower Columbia where we live is pulled so intensely that it flows backwards for 6 hours until it reaches high tide, and then the tidal pull lessens, the natural river current takes over, and the water falls, aided by gravity, until it reaches the bottom of the ebb cycle again. When you think about it in those terms, it's pretty mind-boggling. So the next time you see ships sitting all cattywampus in the river, or you see a buoy being pulled underwater or sideways by the tide, or you see the mudflats exposed when you're driving somewhere near the river, try and remember the massive shift that represents, one that we take for granted, but which illustrates part of the incredible power of the moon and the sun in our daily lives. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.